If I'm really honest, and you know that I am, being a mum is really hard. It's hard, right? Not sure we're supposed to say that on Mother's Day, but being a mum is, it's really hard. Nobody gives you an instruction manual. That would be handy, but you would need a fresh one with each child because each one is vastly different from the other. I don't think you can ever be fully prepared. I know people say, I'm ready, and I go, you have no idea. There's no break. There's no holiday. Holidays are simply same stuff, different place. No sick leave. It's not glamorous. And sometimes it's not even very appreciated. But it is a lifelong pursuit. And I think it's filled with the highest of the highs. You know, if I was to reflect on my motherhood journey, I would say that I have experienced some of the most beautiful and precious lifelong moments that I've ever experienced as a mum. And also some of the lowest of the lows. Because I think as a mum, you are fully invested in the journey. It's not really a choice. But that's okay. I went to the cemetery yesterday. Okay, can we just... went to the cemetery yesterday for Mother's Day to put flowers on my mum's grave. And I was reflecting as I sat there. It was very peaceful. Cemeteries tend to be that way. I was reflecting about our relationship, mine and my mother's. We didn't have a close relationship, my mother and I. And I think it was because she found it very hard to express love in a physical way. And I think she would say that she made many mistakes, but I would say, so did I. I think that song really spoke to me because I think there are times where I could have been more understanding as a child, as a teenager, and even as an adult. So I sat there in silence yesterday and I was grateful for this. I was grateful that she tried. I was really grateful that she tried. I was grateful because I know the sacrifices she made. We were talking yesterday, my husband and I, about, you know, just life. And I recalled, and I think last time I spoke, my parents had 5 jobs when I was growing up to make the kind of life that they hadn't had for me. So I was grateful for that. I was really grateful that she embarked on the journey of motherhood to begin with. And she stayed on it no matter how imperfect or inadequate she felt, because I know I've had moments where I felt very inadequate. And she did it to the best of her ability. And I think when I became a mother, I understood that better. I understood, instead of being judgmental, I think I was a little bit regretful and I did understand better. But I also understood this, that it's the journey that matters. If you judge yourself on the day-to-day, on the failures, on the things that you could have done better, on the things that you didn't understand, well, then you're just always going to feel terrible. But if you have the perspective to look at it as a journey, one, you can look back and go, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And two, you can look forward and say, well, there's always hope that I can do it better. And I think faith is much the same. It's a journey. It's a journey. And each season is different with its own set of challenges. And I think as a mother, I can remember my very first challenge. I think Levi was a week old and they said I could leave the hospital. And I left feeling like some sort of imposter because I had absolute sort of care over this child that I had absolutely no idea what to do with. And they said, you know, you can ring us if you any doubt, you can. I rang, that was like the hotline. I am like, he has got hiccups. Is that normal? Yes, that's normal, Mrs. Mulhere. So I can remember that feeling of absolute horror. because Chris, you know, back then we didn't do paternity leave. So Chris came from work to pick me up from hospital, took me home, dropped me off and left me. I remember standing in the kitchen with this child and I was like, cool. Now what? Don't know what to do. Challenging, right? Challenging. And I think, but you know, when I had a second child, when I had Beth, I actually felt a little bit more like I could lean into it. And by the time we had Reuben, it was like, well, you know, any third children or more here? It's like, you just bring yourselves up, really. I think faith is the same. And in my motherhood journey, where my faith and my motherhood journeys collided, I remember vividly a very big one where Reuben, who is our third, was only a few weeks old and they thought he might have meningitis. And I mean, I'd never really had a sick child. The other two were great, really. And I definitely not had one that had to go to hospital at a few weeks old. And so here I was in hospital with him a few weeks old and he had to have a lumbar puncture. And I can remember feeling like, I don't have enough faith for this. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, you know, I know what I should do. I know what the right thing to do is. I should pray and I should, you know, like, just get hold of the word, woman. But I felt very inadequate in my faith because it's a journey, right? I didn't really seem like I was quite up to the task. And I think this last little season of church life, since Easter, we've been on the journey, another journey, of the road to Pentecost. You know, Easter and then Pentecost. And I looked up Pentecost because I must admit, even though we've been on the journey from Easter to Pentecost, I'm like, I'm not really sure what Pentecost means. I know it as a word. Well, Pentecost, in case you didn't know, comes from the Greek word that means 50. And it marks the 50 days after Easter when Jesus appeared to those in the upper room and sent his Holy Spirit to be a comforter and an encourager. And I'll read it to you from John 14, 16 to 19. It says, "And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, comforter, encourager, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me since I live with you also." And I think that is one of the things that I've found so empowering in my faith journey. And often when I've been asked to share with people why I've chosen a faith journey, I think it's because in the moments that I feel so alone and so unsure and so inadequate and so unable, I just have this confidence that I'm not alone. I have this confidence that if I'm willing, I can reach out because I've been told that I have this Holy Spirit, this comforter, this encourager who walks alongside me continuously, that is as close as the air that I breathe. And so when I feel like I can't do it, I'm not doing it on my own. And that's been so empowering in my faith journey. And I'm not really quite sure how I would have gotten this far without that confidence, to be honest. Now, my faith had to grow along the way, clearly. I came from a family, we went to church on Palm Sunday because my mother liked the little palm crosses that they made. We used to have a multitude of those. And midnight on Christmas, because my father was a choir boy and he liked to sing really loud. And Easter. Well, Easter was Palm, wasn't it? It was the Palm. Anyway, whatever. We didn't go very often. And so I came, you know, when I came to know Jesus when I was in my early 20s, I kind of was starting behind everybody else. I hadn't really had a faith journey. But it had to grow. And I found that God has been faithful in every circumstance. And when I say that, you know, people say, oh, the faithfulness of God. Can I just say, that doesn't mean that everything I ever wanted, desired, prayed for happened the way I thought it should. Yeah. Didn't. Sometimes, you know, I've been in rooms, and particularly in my role, where I'm like, God, could you just come through? And it hasn't worked. Does that affect my faith? It shouldn't, because it's not up to me. And what I've learned is if I'm willing to press through those moments where I feel like I don't know what's happening, what happens is my faith grows. It doesn't shrink. It actually grows because I see God in all his wisdom, with all his perspective, generally bring a circumstance around in a way that I never could have imagined for some other purpose that I can't see. That's why it's faith. You know, we can't see it. If we can see it, it doesn't require any faith. But it's faith because we can't see it. Yeah. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen." If you can see it, You don't really require faith to get it. But when it seems like I just can't quite grasp it, then you really require faith to even believe that it could be a possibility. So this morning, because I'm immensely practical, we're going to look at three things, three very practical things that wherever you find yourself on the faith journey, I hope will be encouragement for you to keep going. And the first one is this. This is something I've learned. You have to trust the process. You have to trust the process. When I first learned how to drive, Doug Muller was not teaching driving at that. It would have been really handy if he was. But I remember vividly my first, because my dad wouldn't teach me how to drive. And so they just booked me, which was very wise in hindsight. It probably saved our relationship. He was happy to take me after I'd had lessons, but I had lessons. I went to the car the first day and the lady said to me, okay, there's the accelerator, there's the brake, there's the clutch, there's the gear stick, put it in first and off we go. And I was like, I don't know whether she was used to people who knew what they were doing. I'm like, I have absolutely no idea and should not be in charge of a car. But I had to trust the process. She knew what she was doing. She had taught hundreds of people before me and she was willing, God bless her, to trust the process. She didn't know that in my first attempt at driving, I had knocked the front fence over. She didn't know that. But I had to trust the process because I was with someone who knew the process better than me. It's trusting the journey itself, knowing that every step you take, whether it's forward, because we like those ones, or backwards, we're not really keen on those, or forwards, or backwards, you have to trust the journey. It's part of a greater plan. And when I put my trust in Jesus, I trusted that he knew the plan, he knew the process way better than I did. If he's the beginning and the end and I'm just somewhere in the middle, then I need to trust him. And boy, oh boy, when you have to step into that trust, we all know what that feels like. It's like I don't feel very confident, like I'm sure I didn't when I stepped into that car. But even during moments of doubt or difficulty, trust that each experience is shaping you into something that is stronger and wiser. Even if you just come out of it thinking, I will never make that decision again, you're wiser. Even if you come out of it just going, well, that was horrendous, but I actually feel like if I had to face that again, I'd do it differently, you're stronger. And sometimes I think in life we can feel like we've missed it. I know in my journey, in my motherhood journey, many times I felt like I'd missed it. I mean, I was not the crafty mum. Kylie Cooper was the crafty mum. You know, the one they're just always doing. Maddie's mum, they're always doing these amazing little things. And, you know, like my kid's crafty was, we're having fairy bread and you can put your own sprinkles on. So that fun. Not the crafty mum. So you can feel like, wow, my kids are really missing out. I don't think they did. I have an extremely creative, particularly daughter, but all of my kids are quite creative. So maybe they didn't miss out on that. Maybe God was kind and made them creative. But I did learn this. I can't give up because I don't feel I'm quite adequate. I can't give up because I look at someone who's doing it better than me, because everybody was doing it better than me at that point. I can't give up because we can get really condemned, particularly as mums, but I think in life generally, when we look around and we compare ourselves to where people are at. Oh, well, you know, they've got this and I don't have that, and they're going to do that with their kids and I can't really do that. And we have this sense of condemnation comes upon us because we don't feel like we're measuring up. And we've got to trust the process because, you know, what I found, and it's the most important thing I learned on the journey, there's a big difference between making a mistake and feeling convicted about something and making a mistake and feeling condemned. Because condemnation brings shame, it brings guilt, it brings that sense of, I just want to give up, I can't do this. We've all been there. Well, maybe it's just me. I'm just being very honest this morning. I can't do this. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. I'm a failure. I can't do it. That is condemnation. Conviction goes, wow, that was not good. But I'm going to learn from that. Conviction, it's really bad that they're two C words. Conviction is that sense of, I messed up, I understand that, but I'm leaning forward because I want to grow from this experience, not shrink. That's conviction. It encourages you forward. I don't want to repeat the same mistake. I want to learn from it. And, you know, there's no condemnation. Scripture tells us that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, when we face something on the journey, while we're trusting the process, when we face something, it's our choice whether we allow it to be condemnation that pushes us down or conviction that makes us lean forward. And it's that trust thing. I have to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do and He will show you which path to take. That says to me that sometimes I need to be shown which path to take, which also says to me sometimes maybe I might miss the path. And then it's my choice whether I allow that to push me forward or to push me backwards. I have to trust the process. And to trust the process is to trust Him who put the process in place. Number two, and this is an important one, find strength in community. I think as a mum, it can be really easy to become isolated. It can become really easy because it's quite difficult sometimes to get out of the house feeling like a somewhat human person. I saw a few TikToks this week about, you know, behind every young adult girl who's wearing designer clothes, has her nails done and has her hair beautiful, is a mother who looks like a hobo. And it's true sometimes, not so much for me anymore, but it's true. You spend all the time doing the kids' hair and making sure the outfit matches, and then they vomit on it, and then you have to do it all again, and then have blow out the other end, and you're going to do it all again. And by the time you do that, you're just glad to be getting out of the house and you don't care that you've got Vegemite on your face. And so we can feel isolated. So seek support and companionship from fellow travellers on the faith journey. It's so, so important. It's so encouraging. Surrounding yourself with a community of believers provides an encouragement and accountability, shared wisdom, particularly for our young mums. You know, I used to feel like my children were the only ones that didn't sleep. I'm still convinced that mine were worse than anybody else's. But just going along to a playgroup or coming along where you're interacting with other women, and it's not just for mums with young children. You know, I get with a couple of my friends who have children the same ages as mine. Are we allowed to still call them children? I don't know. It sounds kind of odd to call them adults, who have adults the same as mine. Anyway, children the same as mine, and we talk about, you know, because every season is different. Every season has its own challenges. And I think the trap is feeling like you are the only one and you are isolated by what is going on in your life. So you can share wisdom. You can help navigate. You know, I can remember a season in my life where I had a friend who all she would do was say, if you're having a bad day, flick me a text. I'm not going to ask you what's happening. I'm just going to pray for you. And that made the world of difference to know that someone, she didn't even live in the same city as me, would help me in that way. And then you can celebrate victories together. It helps us not to feel isolated, like we're the only ones who are struggling. And I think the simple act sometimes of sharing what you're going through actually helps the burden feel a little bit lighter. And I notice, you know, in the last number of weeks where we've been talking about the road to Pentecost, I noticed that the followers of Jesus who were closest to him in a time that was possibly the most confusing for them because it definitely didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. They thought they were going to have rule and reign, and it looked very different because at this point he had been crucified and was dead and he'd resurrected. But I mean, we read that like, of course he was, but can you imagine? Okay, so this had not been done before. This guy was, you know, we followed him, he's crucified, he's buried, and now he's back. We go, that's so inspiring. They would have been like, what is going on? But I noticed where they found themselves. They found themselves gathered together in the upper room because there's power in together. There's power in together. So find strength in community. It's wisdom. And the last one is this. Embrace growth and transformation. You know, that's a choice, embracing growth and transformation. It's not an automatic. In a challenge, it is your choice whether you embrace growth and transformation. And we all want to be grown-ups most of the time. I mean, sometimes it's attractive to think you could be Peter Pan, but it's quite unattractive on an older man, I've just got to tell you. You've got to embrace growth and transformation. The problem with growth is, you know, I want to be a fully developed follower of Jesus. I want to be wise. I want to be someone that people look to and think, wow, I wish I could be like her. Well, to get there, I have to walk through many challenges and growth opportunities. Many times I've had people come and ask me to pray for them that they would have more faith. Please don't ever do that. Yeah. Like, honestly, I just want to have more faith. And it's like, you are asking me to pray that you encounter many trials, tribulations, and growth opportunities. If you're up for that, okay. But that's what you're asking for. You're asking me to pray that trial and problems and issues come into your path so that you might work through them like a muscle. Like, I would love to be muscly. There's a guy that I see on TikTok. He does all these acrobatic things. I'm like, I can see myself doing that. But I know to get from here to there is not just simply me wanting that. It is actually me, lots of pain. I would think for me, broken limbs at this point. It's kind of almost impossible. But if I want to get from there to here, I've got to embrace the challenge and the growth. So recognize that growth often occurs through trials and challenges, and each experience presents an opportunity for personal and spiritual development. We've got to stay open to the lessons that come our way instead of going, I can't believe it, I am having another bad day. I can't believe it, just my luck. You know, I've got a friend and it's always, oh, well, you know what my luck is like. And I'm like, well, you're expecting it. You're expecting it to be that way. Why don't you expect for it to be different? The Bible says this, my grace is always more than enough for you. Some versions say my grace is sufficient, but my grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So when we're struggling with something, that is the point where God can actually come in and work through us and push us forward rather than hold us back. And it goes on to say in that verse, that's in the Passion Translation, for my weakness becomes a portal for God's power. So rather than be ashamed of our weaknesses, ashamed of our challenges, ashamed of our inadequacies, it's actually a portal for God's power to work through that will help us to grow and transform into a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I love that. I love that what was maybe destined to push us down and push us under is actually something that can propel us forward. Three simple things to help you navigate life and all its challenges. Trust the process. I don't know where you are on the process right now. I don't know what's going on in your life, and everyone in this room is vastly different. But can I just say to you, wherever you are on the journey, trust the process. Don't just trust the process, but trust the author of the process. Find strength in community. If you feel like, well, you know, nobody wants to hear my stories, or I can't be bothered, or it's just easier to stay home. Find strength in community. It has been a key for me. I am an only child. For some of you, that will not surprise you. I'm an only child, so I'm quite good at being on my own. But I tell you what I've learned. I've learned that I am better in community. I'm better here. I'm better with people who I can talk to, people who I can do the journey with, people that I can celebrate the victories with. I'm better here. It's a better place for me to grow than isolated and on my own. And embrace growth and transformation. You might be in a season right now where it's difficult and you've got to answer some questions, you've got to make some decisions, and it feels hard and it feels impossible at times. You might be a young mum here today who just feels like, I am not doing this well. Embrace growth. Just embrace it. Don't despise it. Don't despise the challenges. Don't go looking for challenges. Don't go looking to step into places that you shouldn't be, that are going to be challenging. But the challenges that come to you, step into them with a confidence, knowing that His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in our weakness. He is committed to doing the journey with you, and not only doing the journey with you, but helping you to become the best person, the best version of yourself that you could possibly be. Is that okay? I'd love to pray for us. Why don't we stand together today? I know that was practical and simple, but I'm speaking to the mums particularly today, but maybe you were here and that spoke to you as well. So I'd love to pray for each one of us today, that wherever you are on the journey, that you would feel inspired, that you would feel empowered, that if you have any feelings of isolation or just feelings of not being worthy, that they would go as you lean into the journey today. I pray that if you have hesitated to lean into community, that you would stop by the Connect Hub today, have a chat with someone, help them find a life group for you to be in, or somewhere that you can connect into community here and go on a journey with people. And I pray today more than anything that we would allow that transformational power of Jesus to find us wherever we are on the journey, and just take us one more step forward, and then one more step forward, and then one more step forward. So Lord, we just thank you today. I thank you for all of us on this journey. I thank you, Lord, for encouraging us. I thank you, Lord, for meeting us right where we're at on our journey, and ever so gently leading us just another step forward. I thank you that your grace is enough. Your grace is sufficient for anywhere that we find ourselves on the journey. I thank you, Lord, that as we lean in, that you meet us right where we're at, and you gently grow us and pull us forward. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for anyone here today who is feeling lonely or isolated or unsure, inadequate, in the valley of decision. That, Lord, it's not my words, but it's by your Spirit today that you would meet them and ever so gently lift their eyes towards heaven, and ever so softly speak into their spirit. Give them the confidence to move forward, to shake off the shackles of loneliness and isolation, of insecurity, of indecision, and help them to move forward this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we finish today, you know, I've talked about my faith journey. And maybe you're here today and you're not on a faith journey as yet. And maybe today is the day that you take your first step. There's many steps, but your first step, which is simply going, you know, I'd like to be on that journey. I'd like to invite Jesus into my life to walk with me and have that kind of experience where I can just trust and there's always someone there with me. And if that's you this morning, it's very simply just praying a heartfelt prayer and asking for that to happen. And I'd like to encourage you, because I think that the best thing I've ever done in my life, apart from becoming a mother, was actually beginning my journey with Jesus. I had no idea what it would look like, but I took that step and I have never, ever regretted it, because I've never, ever been alone ever since. And so Sarah's going to come. She's going to tell you how to empower that step, and then we're going to go out and enjoy Mother's Day.